WGIL.
I hope the coffee's good, or however you're waking up this morning, wherever you are. Thanks for joining us on WGIL, Galesburg Live, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. The Dance Hall Dubs in Hour 2. Dave, when you're in your truck and you're leaving, keep it tuned in, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna enjoy Corey and Aaron.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah,
in Hour 2 of Galesburg Live. But right now, my friend Dave Schoenfelder, Wisconsin originally. You can hear it when he talks. You can hear it when he's... You can hear it every once in a while. It comes out, the Wisconsin. Your Badgers today taking on the Fighting Illini. Do you watch the college football?
I do watch some. You know, it's neat. I mean, these college players play like pros, and it's really something to see. Yeah, I do.
Dave's an outdoorsman, a musician, a poet, a writer, a cooker. Fields Barbecue and Catering is Dave Schoenfelder, too. Just kind of... keeps himself busy in the things he likes, and when he's outdoor in the outdoors, I got a feeling that's kind of your zenith, huh? Is that when you're at your happiest, when you're outdoors?
Oh, I'm happy all the time.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But my meditation is a great outdoors.
Sure,
I find my meditation in the outdoors.
And to survive, or maybe in that winter pack in your car as you're traveling this fall or winter, Dave brought a bunch of things, and he always does this time of year to help us survive. I've got in a nice little Ziploc here, one everybody should have. This is a toilet paper.
And oh, yeah.
Your toilet paper, not just on the roll, but you want to protect it from getting wet.
Right. So I'm using a freezer bag because it keeps moisture out. A plastic bag, a storage bag does not. A freezer bag keeps moisture out.
Yep. Yeah. We talked before in the first segment about a compass and a whistle. That whistle, I just think, is because Dave said you could get dehydrated if you're out, if you're trail riding, if you're... walking, backpacking, whether you're camping. And if you need to reach out to someone, your screams might go unheard.
Right. Well, your voice can get so dry, you can't scream.
Yeah. So, yeah. So having a whistle would be great.
Yeah.
Tell me about the, I've got some, an orange ribbon here.
That's a panel marker.
Yeah,
A panel marker for survival.
Yeah.
You can buy them. Walmart has them. But also... blowing in the wind, a bright orange, a pilot looking for somebody who went down. And I used to do survival recovery.
Sure.
And if somebody had that thing from an airplane, and I didn't bring the signal.
Blaze orange is...
can be seen so far away, and movement can be seen. It's like fire and smoke can be seen for such a long ways.
So tear off some of this blaze orange material. Have some of this with you, too.
Yeah. And tie it. You can tie it off. And then, you know, also like in the snow... three fires in a triangle from a pilots are trained. Three fires in a triangle is somebody needs help.
SOS.
Yes, it is SOS. And but anyway, panel marker, sure. I carry those in my hiking backpack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we just have rope over here. And, well, we all know that many millions of purposes, this could come in handy with if needed.
This is a little more than rope. This is 550 cord. So inside the 550 cord are a bunch of strands. 550 means 550 pounds of breaking strength.
Oh, okay.
But inside here are a bunch of little strands. And those strands, you can cut this. You can use this for emergency shoelaces. You can cut this, and you can use it for hanging stuff. And you can use the inner strands for making snares to catch wildlife if you need to.
To keep some stuff off the ground, to hang things, yeah.
This is so indispensable. I have this at home for uses all the time. And then, with this, our old saying when I was teaching rock climbing and rappelling in Alaska was, if you don't know what knot to tie, tie a lot of them. But when you learn your knots, like in survival class, we teach that you tie a knot, and this is just a simple knot. This is a square knot.
Sure. Okay?
But this is how we teach to tie the knots. Your proficiency is determined when you can do this.
Dave's doing it. He's got his eyes closed. Is this how you taught it in Alaska, your survival classes?
Oh, yeah.
You had
I trained with some of the best up there.
That's pretty great.
And, so
he tied a knot with his eyes closed. I know you've done it a million times, but it's a great tip to have.
If you go through the survival course, part of it knot tying, you'll tie your knot and be really confident. And then I ask you to tie it with your eyes closed. And once you do that, you have great proficiency. 550 cord is so valuable. You can get it at Walmart. You can get it at Dunn's or Dunham's, is it?
Yeah.
Durham's or whoever that is. And but so many practical uses for this.
Yeah.
And
as part of your survival kit this fall and winter, if you're venturing out a lot,
always
that cord, toilet paper wrapped up. You know that the compass, the whistle. Okay, and you don't have much food with you, or you're almost out of food, and you know you're going to be out there for a couple days. Dave, yes. What? Because you've called me before and said I'm out and about, and maybe you don't have anything with you. You would know what to. What are we going to eat out here, Uncle Dave? I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
What are we going to eat? How are we going to survive out in the woods? And you brought some different types of walnuts.
Yeah.
How do you know what berries and walnuts to pick up?
Well, let me first say, if you're out in the great outdoors and the kids are with you, just unless you absolutely know, do not harvest what you don't know and eat these things. But in there, of course, is I just went and walked out of my place and I picked up walnuts,
sure,
hickory nuts, acorns, all very edible, actually delicious, except for the acorns are pretty bitter. You got to boil those in water to get rid of the bitterness. You
know, okay.
And then you mash them. But a lot of valuable protein in that.
Well, in the fall and winter, we're not getting a lot of berries out there, right?
Right. You may find some berries on the leaves, but be careful. You don't want to be eating those bird berries, and you should always avoid white berries. And now I'm talking Alaska. Every bluish berry you find in Alaska is edible, and every red berry is edible except for one, and that's a poisonous bane berry. So
wow.
Be careful about knowing your berries.
Stay away from the bane berry, everybody.
But here, you know, I make homemade wine, and I go out and collect wild berries. So you have the wild muscadine here. We have the mulberry here. We have the cherry here, and the wild cherry, and American cherry or black cherry. And then we have the blackberry. We have the black raspberry, and I think I'm missing one here.
This is why you want to go camping with Dave. He makes his own wine.
wildberry. But yeah. Anyway, so there's a lot of wild edibles, and if you truly know them, like the kids that were out in the survival class last year, I said, are there, we got anything to eat here? And the kids said, no. And we were walking over these walnuts, and I just picked up the walnuts and cracked them. There's beautiful walnuts that you buy at the store.
Yeah.
And they ate them, and they were really then into it. Now, as far as the plants, you know, we have the cattail, which is so edible in the spring. It's delicious. The young shoots are delicious, but the main thing I think about eating the cattail is the starch. Beautiful, better than a potato. It's kind of like a cross between a potato and a cucumber. The roots of the cattail. You can do a lot with cattail, but then you go down.
The cattail's pretty common, right?
Yeah, all over.
Yeah, yeah.
Drive 34, you see the cattail.
Absolutely.
And then another one that chefs use a lot is the dandelion. Dandelion is make a wonderful salad out of dandelion. And the lamb's quarter, of course, if you know what that looks like, that's very edible for like spinach, making a spinach. And then,
so leave your granola at home. You're saying there's enough crunchy and sweet stuff out in the real world.
I would take. I would take some type of trail mix, but I would take jerky with me, you know, a lot of protein, salts, and sugars.
There you go. There you
take
go.
Take jerky, yeah.
And I'm guessing this thing's for, I'm holding this plastic bag, and it looks like it is a container for water storage, and it's a 5-quart.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of kids I know use these for, my daughters use these for music festivals when they go to those 3-4-day music festivals, have those tied to their back, and then they can just grab it at any time, have it accessible. That's what this water bottle is.
Uh-huh, that's a little unique. Now, in Alaska, some things we taught up there in the severe cold, which we'll be getting into here in the upcoming months, but that survival water bank, you can actually pack that full of snow, and then you got to be dressed right. You don't want it against your skin, but maybe you have a cotton shirt or something, and you have a wool shirt, and then maybe you have a vest and a heavy coat, however you do it. But between that outer garment and that vest or whatever,
yeah,
you place that, and then you go out and you build your shelter or whatever, and your body heat will melt the snow in that. And we taught that in Alaska to the pilots and air crews. But a survival water bag is really valuable out there.
Yeah.
And that's a survival water bag.
And it looks like it's been used a lot, Dave.
it's
a 5-gallon. Well, that's
all it has.
Be prepared, water kind of number one when you go out.
You know, you're talking water, you're talking 3 days of survivability without water in a lot of cases. Food, 3 weeks without food, you can survive. So you really have to have an emphasis on water.
Talking outdoor survival tips with my friend Dave Schoenfelder, who also makes music, goes down to Nashville and makes albums, writes books. There's DVDs out too. 21 Bullets fieldsbarbecue.com. You can check out and learn more about Dave. We'll talk about Fields Barbecue and catering in just a little bit. Before we take a break, I see a Swiss Army knife here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's so old school. Water, yeah. Swiss Army knife, your whistle, some blaze horns, and my compass, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, there's a lot I didn't bring in. I didn't bring in my fire starting stuff.
Or if you're just stuck out all by yourself with the Swiss Army knife, you could get a lot done with that too, right, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. I think the main thing about that knife, any knife, is keep it sharp.
Yeah.
A dull knife is a dangerous knife,
mm.
and that's a folding knife, which is a little bit more risk than a straight blade. A straight blade knife's not going to fold on you, so be careful with these folding knives so you don't bring it back and it catches and it folds in and cuts your... You cut yourself, but
yeah, a lot of people don't know what every single thing does on their Swiss Army knife, but oh, yeah, I bet you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There are so many tools in that little thing. It's really worth carrying something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah. The corkscrew part, of course, you can grip nicely, and if mm-hmm. you got to fight off a bear, it might be your best chance.
I might not fight a bear with that little corkscrew.
You probably got away. Now, back in Alaska, I mean, has there ever been any moments? Wisconsin, Alaska, here. Bear encounter, you out in the middle of nowhere. You've seen a bear.
Oh, yeah. Close. Oh, many times.
Yeah.
I mean, black bear, but grizzly bear in Alaska. And I stayed away from her and her cubs. And that's an important thing if you go out in the great outdoors.
What if you do encounter? And you say you're 100 yards away and they notice you.
Talk softly, back off. Keep your distance. Get 100 yards away from them. They're so fast. But here's a bear.
A sprint? Should I go 0 to 60? Should I start running?
Back away.
Back away slowly.
Talk softly if you're going to talk. Don't yell at the bear. Talk softly and back up and start backing. When you get enough distance, run. But don't turn around and run initially. Be calm. And it's hard to be calm. You know, I mean, if this thing is standing up and it wants to.
But you also want to try to get that selfie moment, Dave. How do you take? We'll take a break and come back, and Dave will tell us how to take a selfie with the bear. No, he's not going to do that.
I don't
think so.
That's
a bad idea.
Yeah, very bad idea.
We'll talk about the music of Dave Schoenfelder as the reindeer man. You can check out that right now if you want to hear some 21 Bullets. Here's the beginning of an old song. This is an oldie but a goodie, Sasquatch.
Oh, Sasquatch, yeah. Hey, I haven't heard that in a while.
Off of the album 21 Bullets, which was the first record, right? Was that the first produced album?
First music album.
Yeah.
Sasquatch, I wrote driving to Galesburg, Illinois, and I stopped in the gas station, finished writing it.
Yeah,
I just had these thoughts, you know.
Well,
a lot of fun.
Your music goes along with your love of the outdoors. A lot of it deals with that. It deals with some fantasy, some darker humor, some hilarious things happen along with Dave's music in the outdoor world. Yeah. You got to check it out. 21 Bullets is the name of the album, and there's many of them. We'll talk more with Dave Schoenfelder coming up on Hour 1 of Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Alive, 21 bullets, and he never died. The storm to his home as he tried to call, splattered his body again.